Some of us like camping more than others. Among the campers, some like it primitive. But few of us can imagine heading off into the woods for a year of primitive camping. But that's the basic outline of what four young women, actually five young women, college age, did, as portrayed in the Rogue Valley-based documentary film Earth Seasoned. It just played the Klamath Independent Film Festival and will be seen at the Jefferson State Flicks Fest in the Scott Valley next Sunday. Molly Kruseman is the director of Earth Seasoned and guest in the studio with me. Hi, Molly.
How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing terrific, thanks.
You are a big believer in the power of nature, of the outdoors. So give us a little sketch of you and where you're coming from with this project.
So I, you know, just have a long history of being happiest when I'm outside. I grew up in Ohio. We had a farm I could go to. I spent all my weekends there. And I just find when I don't get time out in nature, I start getting a little itchy and less fun to be around. So I just need it. I just need that quiet.
Now, I know your husband runs the Coyote Trail School of Nature. Are you connected to it as well?
So what I've been doing for the last 6 years is we took over a little quote-unquote nature center over in the middle of the U.S. Cellular Ballpark, which when we got there, I told my husband he was out of his cotton picking mind because it was so overgrown. But we've really turned it into a nature center with the help of hundreds of people. And so that's what I've been doing before I became a filmmaker. Who knew that was going to happen?
So you are an accidental filmmaker from the sounds of it.
I am. It's, you know, this was a passion project. And you know, as we were talking earlier, what got me into it was we have done this program. It's called the Caretaker Program. It's one of our culminating programs. You have to have gone through other classes so we know what your skill level is. But you fill out an application, you write an essay about why you'd like to attend. And in 2014, for the first time in our 15-year history, we had all young women sign up and no boys. And what really pushed me to end up recording this or documenting it is I was back in Ohio, which is where I'm originally from, and people kept saying to me, well, five girls can't live in the woods for a year by themselves. And I was just like, are you even kidding me? So I came back here and I was at a cocktail party and I said out loud, we should be documenting this. And the next thing I know, we are documenting this.
Somebody took you up on it and said, well, why don't you, right?
Yeah. Stop talking about it and get on with it.
So you mentioned that there's a certain skill level that has to be achieved before people will get into the caretaker program. So in other words, you're not just chucking people out in the woods. This is not like a, you know, learn how to survive. You've already taught them survival skills by the time they get there. Right.
So they have some basic skills. Absolutely. Ironically, what we found interesting was because we call this a semi-primitive experience, because once a month they were allowed to go into the grocery store because you can't hunt year round, first of all. But I think the biggest thing we taught them was how to grocery shop because, you know, for staples, because of course there's not a microwave, there's no electricity. So you can't just grab, you know, the convenient thing. You really need the staples. And then how do you cook those and how do you keep them and all of that kind of stuff. So it was kind of intriguing to see what they, you know, what they had the hardest time with.
All right. That answers one of the questions about how often they get out of that situation. The answer is once a month to the grocery store. But so where do you take them? What do they have to do in terms of just establishing a place to live?
So they were up in our mountain campus, our wilderness campus, which is up at Earth Teach Forest Park, right up Dead Indian Memorial, which has 1,600 acres. And we have a primitive kitchen up there, so they had that. They had propane tanks that they could use to cook on. And we had shelters from previous caretakers. Now, when I say shelters, these are debris shelters. They're mostly bark and twigs and sticks and leaves, just like you might think. And so these young women, part of what they were to do was to build their own shelter. And they decided to build a two-story underground shelter. And it was an epic thing to watch them do this. You'll love it in the film. And I don't want to give too much away, but it was magnificent. It really was incredible. But it did take them most of the year to build this thing because no power tools. This was all hand tools. So.
And fire only by friction? I mean, they don't get lighters or matches or anything?
Fire by friction. I would say, you know, generally speaking, fire by friction. There were times, especially if you're cooking, that, you know, you would be able to light the propane stove. And that's why we say semi-primitive, because truly, if this was completely primitive, you would spend 90% of your day just gathering food. I mean, that is what all your time would be, you know, taken up doing. And this is more about having quiet time, having, you know, alone time, learning to process with each other, to be able to talk through difficulties. So there were a lot of other skills that were more important than just food gathering.
We're talking about five young women who spent four seasons, a full year, semi-primitively camping up in the Cascades of Oregon, as portrayed in the film Earth Season. Molly Kruseman, our guest, is the director of that film, which you'll be showing next at the Jefferson State Flicks Fest in Fort Jones, is it, on Sunday?
Fort Jones, Sunday at 4 o'clock.
And you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. This ended up being more of a focus on one of the five women, Tori. Mm-hmm. You also had Emma, Hannah, Maddie, and Thea.
Mm-hmm.
What attracted any of them to the program in the first place? Why does somebody come to a program that's going to make them live pretty primitively for a year?
Well, these are young women that were already drawn to spending time in nature. And as we went through the years of them coming to camp, they just decided this was something they wanted to do for a year and really test their mettle, as it were. You know, I think, in my humble opinion, it's really good for kids to have a gap year, whatever that looks like, if it's traveling to Europe, if it's joining the circus, if it's living primitively on a mountain. But time to really figure out who they are, because in our fast-paced, overstimulated lives, what time do any of us have to sit quietly and figure out who we are and what we really want?
Well, and I should point out that the film is called Earth Season, but it's always followed by hashtag gap year. So this really was a chance for people heading off into new phases of their lives to spend a year taking real stock of themselves, mm-hmm. with, I imagine, a whole lot of time on their hands.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, it's really terrific. So we focused on Tori because she just naturally is who she is, whether she's on camera or off camera. The other women were fabulous, but three of them really didn't love being on camera. They had agreed to it, but they didn't love it. So Tori, who we then later found out had some learning difficulties and had she was more nervous about coming to spend a year with four women than she was about spending the time in nature.
I noticed that from the trailer that she mentions that she didn't always get along with girls her age.
Yeah. Well, short-term memory problems, ADD, and dyslexia. And in a lot of ways, it's kind of funny because she reminds me a lot of the character Dory from Finding Dory that Ellen DeGeneres does.
She said Tori and Dory.
I know. It just works out that way. But just that, you know, she's genuinely a sweet, sweet person. She does get confused at times. And, you know, in the world of high school, that can be really tough. And she lost friends and it was really traumatic. And I think that's something that a lot of kids go through in one way or another. And so this is also, you know, my goal with the film is to get this to kids. And to show them just another way that they can find themselves or, you know, whatever. But to also show that you can overcome these things, that there is, you know, there is another side to it.
I'm going to guess you didn't take them up to Earth Teach Forest in December or something. So what time of year did the young women head out there and did they get any help with the preparation of their shelters and things like that?
So they went up in September and they started out, as I said, in shelters that were already there. Although with those shelters that were there, they were sort of in disrepair, so they had to sort of take them apart and put them back together. But they lived all four seasons. They lived through the winter and the, you know, the snow and all that. Now, I should also tell people each of those shelters had a little wood stove. So as long as you were in your shelter and your stove was going, you were pretty toasty warm. But they were up there in the snow, and everybody knows how the snow is up, you know, up that Indian Memorial, worst name in the world.
That's a whole nother story, and a public hearing coming to decide the fate of that road name coming up in Jackson County. So what could they bring with them? What could any of these five women take along with them? I mean, obviously they're not going to bring blowtorches and power tools. You mentioned no power tools up there.
No power tools. They did bring sleeping bags. A lot of them, you know, they brought – we try to steer people towards wool clothing. You know, you don't want any cotton clothing, so we spend a long time.
Why not cotton?
Because when cotton gets wet, it stays wet, and wet draws heat out. So especially in the winter, you just don't want to wear cotton. I remember that from my outdoor store days. But just, you know, also, you know, wool is natural, and we tried to remain as close to the earth as possible. So we didn't want a lot of synthetics and that kind of thing. You know, the food that we serve at Coyote Trails is primarily locally grown and organic. So we're really trying to teach about what the earth brings to us, because as we all know, in this day and age, most of us think we just go to the store, we grab the package of hamburger, and that's just hamburger, and it comes from we don't know where, it's just there. So we really try to, you know, work backwards and think about, where does this come from? What is it, you know, how do we get this? What is affected by this? So, you know, like if you're eating beef, well, the cows are eating grass, or they're eating this, or they're in a feedlot. So what's, you know, what's that doing to the environment? So it really becomes a very holistic kind of a program.
We are talking about the program called the Caretaker Program at Coyote Trails Nature Center in a school of nature, rather, in Medford. And the fact that five women came together at one time in 2014 and headed up into the woods to spend a year there in semi-primitive camping conditions. This is portrayed in Molly Kruseman's film Earth Seasoned, which will be at the Jefferson State Flicks Fest in Fort Jones on Sunday at 4 p.m., you said?
Correct.
You can join the conversation on the exchange. Maybe you have some questions about what the program entailed, or maybe you have some experiences to share as well. Maybe you spent a long time out in the woods, a la Henry David Thoreau. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, all these women had some skills just to be able to get there. We were just talking about food, so they did some hunting as well?
They were – during hunting season, you can hunt. But as I was saying, that's why they were allowed to go to the grocery store because, for instance, so they had root vegetables, and we actually have a root cellar up at camp. So they could store that kind of thing. But you can't hunt year-round, and so that's why they were able to go to the store to get proteins or things like rice, you know, things that are going to sustain you, because after a while, peanut butter and jelly – is just more than you need to have three meals a day.
Right. So was anybody up there with them? I mean, anybody off, like, just, you know, even a few cabins away, keeping an eye on them, that sort of thing?
Primarily, no. Most of the time, they were by themselves. Amanda would go up every now and again. She's one of our lead instructors. And my husband, Joe, would go up mostly to give them, every couple of weeks, they would give them a project or sort of a directive. So maybe they'd go up and they'd say, okay, this week we want you to do a wander and no talking. And somehow you have to decide between the five of you how far we go. Do we stay overnight? Do we come back? How do we get there? How do we get back? But no, most of the time they were alone. Now, having said that, these five women had a very different experience from our other caretakers because obviously there was someone filming. Our film videographer, who's a just dynamite videographer, name's Michelle Alvarado. She's from Bend. She does a lot of work with National Geographic. She would go up and embed 1 week of every month and get footage. The young women could also film themselves because that's what people do now. Mm-hmm. Even though they didn't have reception on their phones, they could film. So basically, as I was saying to you earlier, I walked into Gary Lundgren's office. He's our editor. And just sort of like, here's 160 hours of footage. What do we do now?
And Gary Lundgren, a very unflappable guy apparently, said, I got some ideas. And off it went.
It was phenomenal. He just sort of started laying out calendars and pulling things together. And I mean, it wouldn't be the film that it is without him. Absolutely. I give him mad props.
Gary Lundgren has done a couple of films that we've talked about. Calvin Marshall and Redwood Highway are both his works. And so he's been a producer, director himself. So obviously lots of experience here. This went from, though, a film where you focused on five women to the four. So, Tori, what's Tori up to these days? I mean, this ended 2 years ago, right?
Yep, absolutely. So what was really exciting was Tori went back to Ohio and she started college at Hocking College, which is in southern Ohio. And her first semester at school got all A's, which had never happened for her before. She's doing very well. And actually, we are in talks right now with her college to come in November and show the film to the school. So she's doing great. And I won't tell you about the rest of them because it's also in the film what they're doing now.
All right. We want to get beyond Tori. It's also Thea, Maddie, Hannah, and Emma. And had they known each other before this started? I have not asked that yet.
Some of them did and some of them didn't. Some of them met. And, you know, one of the things, and I give my husband a world of credit for this, is part of what we're teaching is what I like to call civil discourse, which is sadly lacking in our society right now. And so when they would have problems, they would sit down. Each person would get to speak their whatever their truth was about the situation, and the other four needed to really sit and listen and put themselves in that person's shoes. And then they could start to unravel whatever the dilemma was and find resolution. You know, nowadays, everybody is so black and white, wrong or right, yes or no. You know, you try to talk to someone and you just hit this wall, and it's, to me, we've got to get beyond that if we're going to get anywhere.
Well, and we can't all have the luxury of going off in groups of five off into the woods.
It's true.
Building primitive shelters to get to that point of understanding. So it's nice to see that these people certainly did. The film is called Earth Seasoned, hashtag Gap Year. It was originally called Five Women, Four Seasons, if you see that reference on the web. Wasn't it also called Survive Like a Girl at one point?
Well, that was sort of a tagline.
Okay.
Yeah.
But, wow, they survive, they do. And you can get to see it at the Scott Valley in the Jefferson State Flicks Fest Sunday at 4 o'clock. That's in Scott Valley. So thanks so much for joining us, Molly Kruseman, and best of luck with the continued airings of the film.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.